Hey guys, Matt Hickey from Pit Lane Parlay here with Will Marotti. Will, thanks for joining. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I got to tell you, I'm really excited about this. As I mentioned to you earlier, I've been wanting to get on Pit Lane Parlay for a long time. I've been watching the job you and Mike have been doing and building the program, building a podcast, building your audience. So this is a real thrill to be with you tonight, a real honor. So thank you.
We appreciate that. Thank you very much. We're going to get to building because, you know, we're going to talk about your team, obviously, here in a second. So we'll talk about building something as well with you. Where are you based right now? Are you in the Indianapolis area or whereabouts are you?
I live in Connecticut, but everything that we do and will be doing will be in Indianapolis. And we're hoping to be able to say Speedway in particular. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll touch on that, too, because Speedway is about to be a common theme, I think, for you for the next year, if I'm not mistaken.
The next couple of years. And I love Speedway. It's like my second home. I'm trying to talk my wife into moving out there, but I think she wants to be closer to the water. So,
yeah, happy wife, happy life. Yeah. So for those at home who don't know a whole lot about you, kind of describe your background, how you got into racing, how you got into a couple of the last Indy 500s. You know, what's your story? Sure.
So, you know, I fell into motorsports. I fell in love with it when I was a little kid. My dad took me to a quarter midget track in our hometown. It's the same track that Joey Logano cut his teeth on. Then he took me to Lime Rock, and we saw people like Mark Donahue and Peter Revson and George Fulmer, and I didn't know who any of those were, but they were cool. And then I was at home. My dad was working in the yard, and I had the big honking family AM radio. We had two devices you could entertain at home. We had a black and white TV and the big honking AM multiband radio. And I listened to that radio a lot because it was my favorite team, the Red Sox, broadcast on the station, the Hartford station there. And so I was turning the channel one day, and it wasn't even a weekday. It was Friday. Now, they didn't always run the 500s on Saturday or Sunday or Monday. Sometimes they ran on Friday. So it was a Friday. Right. So I'm praying, and I land on something, and this sounds cool. It sounded like engines and cars. And I heard a guy go, "Stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing," right, which was Sid Collins, the voice of the 500. So I fell in love with it. And then in 1982, I got to go to my first Indy 500. And I got to tell you, Matt, when I walked through the tunnel and I came out the other side, the sky was never bluer. The grass was never greener. It was the most exciting thing I'd ever witnessed in my life. And it was a great race because Gordon Johncock and Rick Mears had an amazing 10-lap shootout at the end. And Johncock just won the race. So
That's a good one to see.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful way to start out. So, you know, I was bit. And I just a fan all these years, just a super fan and gone to a lot of 500s, other races. I'm really an open wheel guy. I mean, I like NASCAR, but I'm an open wheel guy, and I'm an Indy guy in particular. And I'm a pastor. And so I've been a pastor for about 25 years. My wife and I started church 22 years ago, and God's been really good to us. The church has grown. It's done well, and the staff is really, really good. And I said to myself, you know, if I'm ever going to try to do anything in racing, I got to do it now while I'm still young enough and while I've got a staff that I can count on, right? So in 2015, I had this crazy idea. So, you know, I'm going to put a team together, and we're going to put some money together. We're going to try to race in the 100th running of the Indy 500. And everybody said, "You're crazy. It can't happen. Nobody ever goes from zero to the Indy 500 one year." I said, I know. And so we did. We were so blessed. We hooked up with Sam Schmidt, Rick Peterson. We were the co-entrant on the car at the 100th running, car 77. Oriel Servia was the driver. And we had a great race. It was four laps to go. We were in fourth place. But we were on the same fuel problem strategy everybody else was on. And we ended up blowing the pit stop. We ended up finishing 12th. But what an outing, you know. So that kind of got things going. And it's been worse ever since. We came back in 17 with a sponsor. We did four races with Sam in 17 with Mikhail Aloshin, the Mad Russian, who we really like a lot. And Mikhail was doing great at Indy that year. We were in top 10 all day, and then with about 50 laps to go, Ed Carpenter came down and pinched him off, and Ed actually put a hole in Mikhail's side pod. We tried to tape it up, you know, duct tape, whatever, you know, kind of compromised the aerodynamics a little bit, having a hole in the side pod. And then we missed 18 because we had a controversial sponsor. It was a sad story. We didn't really do much in 19, and then we got a great sponsor for 2020 that we brought to Vassar Sullivan and Santino Ferrucci. Of course, you know, COVID kind of took the wind out of everybody's sails there. And, you know, I was fortunate to go to that race with the CEO, myself, and 2,498 of our closest friends. But But it was still a great race, and Santino did great, and you know, it was exciting. So we kind of stepped back and said, we got to do something different. I was having a conversation with Brian Herta. Brian has been very kind to me over the years. We actually were going to try to run with Brian before we hooked up with Sam Schmidt back in 16, and sponsorship things didn't work out for either one of us. And Brian said, you know, he said, you guys, if you really got to get serious about this, you gotta get a stake in the game. You know, I mean, we've been brokers up until now. We'd find sponsors, we'd bring up the teams, we'd kind of connect with the team, which is fun. It's great. He said, if you want to go to the next level, you're gonna really have to get into ownership. So we said, you know what, we're gonna try. So just had the crazy ideas of what we could do, and we came up with this. I'm a historian. I love history. I searched back through the annals of Indianapolis Speedway history. I found out that there's never been a car named after Speedway, the home of the 500-mile race. And so I called some friends. I said, what do you think? They said, it's a great idea. I said, all right, let's put another twist on it. Let's do something different. I mean, crowdfunding has been done for time in memoriam in motorsports, right? People getting $100 for put your name on the car kind of a thing. But we want to do something different. So we checked out what would be the possibility of having stock options and actually having people invest and then turning that investment into an ownership stake in a car. And then another thing never done before, allowing them to have an equal percentage of the purse, whatever the car might generate. And so we started that, and that took a lot. That took us, oh man, that was so much more than we thought it was. But we finally got the portal open 3 weeks ago. $57,000 have been invested so far. I think we're going to hit our minimum of 100 and then our maximum of 250, which is about 10% of our overall budget. So, you know, it's starting to take shape, and we're talking to some good partners and sponsors, and talked to a couple drivers. In fact, as we're taping this, another day I'll be going out to Indianapolis for 2 days for 2 days of meetings, and one of those will include a driver meeting. And so, as I said, I hope we're able to take all these things together, put them together, tie a bow on it, and be able to announce it at PRI in December. So,
all right. So that's all sounded very good. I had a couple. There's a couple things you touched on that were on my list to talk about. So let's start at number one. So you talked about Servia, Alotian, Ferrucci, and you did a couple other races with Alotian as well. Looking back on the Indy 500 races that you've entered, is there one that stands out to you as your favorite so far?
Well, it has to be the first one. Oriel qualified 10th in 16. Sam had three cars, had all three cars in the top 10 with Hinch and with I'm drawing a blank now.
I think 16 would have been Alotian too, if I'm not mistaken.
Alotian, of course. It was Alotian, Hinch, Alotian, and Oriel all in the top 10. And it was our first experience, right? So, like, Sam was very, very generous. He actually did some stuff I didn't ask for in the contract. Like, one of the things was I was out in the pits one day, and my friend said, my business partner, Jim, said, have you looked at the pit wall? I said, no. He said, you better go look at the pit wall. And I went out there and looked at the pit wall. And this, we had not agreed to this. I had not even asked for it. But Sam had put Oriel's name, one of the sponsors. He abbreviated Schmidt-Peterson and put SPM. And he spelled out my name on the pit wall, my family name. I cried like a baby to see our family name across that pit wall right at almost the start finish line. It was overwhelming. It was overwhelming. So, yeah, the 16 was just it was off the hook. It was just amazing. And standing on the grid that morning was with my family, friends from high school. I brought a bunch of folks out. My dad, my sister was there. It was it's still pretty amazing. Yeah. So 16.
And for the 100th, too, to have your name on the pit wall for the 100th. Oh, and just to get to enter that race, that's got to be incredible.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
So the spirit of Speedway, do you think that's the connotation of that and just the idea behind that? Do you think that's really going to resonate well with the Indianapolis crowd and fans of the Speedway?
Well, it has with people in Speedway. I'll tell you that. We've had a couple of events. We had some banners made, some very large 10-foot by 10-foot banners with the theme and information. And we got permission to mount them on what was the original Allison Machine Shop building, which is right on Main Street in Speedway. And I'll tell you, people, I'm getting tremendous response. And I think the fact that there's been $57,000 invested in the last 3 weeks is a good marker. But we're now going to businesses. We had hero cards made for the car. You know, drivers have hero cards. We had a hero card made for the car. We're putting those out in local businesses. And I spoke at a breakfast 2 weeks ago with about 85 diehard IndyCar fans. So we're trying to do every event we possibly can, talk to everybody we possibly can. We're going to be launching a really robust social media attack here very shortly. And I think it's catching on, and I think the fans of Speedway, because of what we're going to offer, you know, this is going to be a 6-month ramp up. This isn't just the month of May. We're really starting in earnest. We're starting to get ready now for December 1. We're going to go all the way through May. We've got a children's book that's being written called The Spirit of Speedway. It's going to be an anti-bullying campaign book where Speedway is the car, is the hero in the story. And of course, the bigger teams, the bigger cars, they pick on them, they make fun of them. We can't say the names Penske and Andretti, but it'd be those guys. And Speedway finds out through, you know, emotional intelligence, Speedway figures out how to get around that. Of course, at the end of the book, Speedway wins the race. So we're going to talk up with a literacy group in Indianapolis. I can't say yet who. We're hooking up with a literacy group, and we're going to go into the schools. We're going to donate the books to the schools, but we're also going to sell books. And we're going to take the proceeds of the book and donate it to a charity that our investor fans will get to pick. So we're going to do that. We're going to do some social events. We're going to have dinners. We're going to try to rally people together. We're going to have a VIP party the week of the race, and we're going to invite everybody to come. Everybody that's either invested or also picked up on what we call the ultimate fan experience package. Investment isn't quite in your budget. We still want to get you on the team, so we have the ultimate fan experience package. So all those people are going to, we want to make this the people's car, because I've been a fan for so long and on the other side of the fence looking in, and I've only been for a relatively short amount of time on the inside of the fence. I know what fans want. They want access, and I'll never forget it. If I'm going on, just stop me. But 2015, we were all at the race, me and about six of my buddies, and it was Saturday, right? So Saturday's kind of sleepy in the garage area, not much going on, right? And all the garages are locked. There's nobody there. We found one of the Andretti doors just cracked open. I looked at my boys. I opened the door. I said, come on, guys. We went in. Nobody in the garage. We took pictures. Now, we didn't do anything. We didn't touch anything. We didn't steal anything. But we took pictures. And we felt like kings of the hill. We were in the Andretti, amongst the Andretti Armada. We were there with our friends. I mean, it was fabulous. That's what fans want. Fans want access. And so that's what we want to give our fans. We want to give our fans access. We want them to be part of the team. We want to take them behind the stanchion on the other side. And I think it's going to be great. So to answer your question, that was a long way around the barn. To answer your question, so far, it's been very well accepted, and I think it's going to build.
Right on. Maybe it was Rossi's garage and you gave him some good luck. Who knows?
Well, actually, it was Carlos Munoz in 15. Marco was in there. Carlos Munoz was in there. Ryder Hunter Ray was in there. I forget the fourth car. It might have been DeSimone. I'm not sure who the fourth car was, but I know I've got pictures standing next to Carlos Munoz's car. You know, and Carlos is a rock star. 6 500s. He's finished every lap and finished second twice.
He's amazing. He's missed. I wish he was still racing at the Indy 500 for sure.
I do too. Yeah. I reached out to him about a month and a half ago. He'd love to go back. But he's got a problem. A lot of people have no funding.
Wow.
You know, and it's turned into that. If you don't have funding, you don't get a ride, unfortunately.
So I guess I'll talk about that then first. So with the driver that you've talking to a couple drivers now, is it the expectation that the driver that comes into your seat would need funding?
No.
Okay.
No, we're going to try to do it all on them. Now, if they do, you know, thank God, you know, we'll take the money. But no, because, you know, we're kind of late in the game as it is now anyway. And no, we'll certainly take whatever they bring, but we're not requiring of them.
Okay.
No.
So you said currently you're at 57,000 raised, 250, is 150 or 250? That's your 100's
our minimum. And that's only a protection for the investors and the team. If we don't reach the 100 minimum, then all that money goes back to the investors. We don't even have access to it. It goes into an accrual account that's controlled by the investment company. Silicon Prairie Valley is our investment company. And this is all spelled out on the website. It's very clear. There's financial statements reviewed. There's a investor's deck there. So all this information is public knowledge. It's very open. And the investors are protected. So once we reach 1,000, then we're on our way to the next goal of 250, and we can start doing stuff with that money.
Okay. And so you said 250 was 10% of your overall budget.
10% of budget.
Which would mean 2.5 million is the budget. So
No. It'd be 1. I did say 10%. No. Okay. So 250,000 is going to be about
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age, because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run, where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or padel, as it's called in North America, this is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with a pro tour, you can anticipate 2 engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!
Gosh, I can't believe I said that. I think it's like 5%. Our whole budget's like is 1.2 million.
Okay. That's because, I was about to ask, because if it was 2.5 million, that to me would say that you guys are probably going to do something beyond the 500, because we've heard the 500.
We're not right now. There's no expectation to do anything beyond the 500.
Okay. Yeah. Because I was just going to clarify that, just because we've heard naturally over the years that the Indy 500 program is about 1 million to 1.5 million. So yeah. I was just wondering if that extra million was going to like a future race or something like that.
Well, I will say this, and again, there's no plan for this, but we would love to be able to come back when the NASCAR boys are there and run the road course race.
Oh.
I think with a good showing, it may open other doors, you know, for some additional funding.
Okay.
And you can do the road course race for a lot less than you can do the 500, so.
Okay. So I think you'll find a lot of people are not rooting against you guys. I do think, however, though, going into a situation like this, especially with how you look at the IndyCar and the health of the series right now, we could be looking at an Indy 500 with 37 to 40 entries showing up for qualifying weekend.
Yeah.
It's never good to be doom and gloom or think about the negatives, but what's the situation going to be like if the entry is bumped from the Indy 500?
Well, it's happened before, right? There's no guarantees for the investors or for the sponsors. Everybody knows that that's a possibility. I mean, more recently, when you only had 33 cars or 32 cars, I think 37, 38 is the number for sure. We will definitely have a technical alliance with a team. We're not going to try to do this on our own. And I think we'll make it. And I think with the driver that I think we're going to have, I'm pretty sure we're going to make it.
And another question, not to hit too hard at you, but you know, when the announcement came out about the crowdfunding, and this idea of the Spirit of Speedway entry for a team that has been an associate team for a couple of years.
Yeah.
There's obviously the occasional internet skepticism behind the entry or whatnot. So what would you say is going to be different about the 2022 effort with kind of this crowdfunding idea that to you gives you confidence and would maybe put some of those doubters kind of, you know, in the rear view per se?
Listen, I've been a pastor for 25 years. I've had my share of critics in my life. Trust me. I would just say this. In 2016, I was told it was impossible to mount any kind of an entry into the 100th running of the Indy 500. And we beat the odds. We did it. Sam had a number. This is what we had to raise. We went beyond that number. We raised more than what the number was. And I'm just going to say that we've done it. We've done it before. We're praying a lot. I mean, this is a huge mountain. No question about it. This is a gigantic mountain to climb. I feel confident we can do it.
I mean, like I said, I think a lot of people will be rooting for you guys, me included, because, you know, I think anytime you get a fresh perspective from an owner coming into IndyCar, we've been very fortunate last 5 or so years because there was a time there where we were losing owners and not replacing them. So I'm rooting for you guys. I think it's going to be awesome. So I'll include in the bio here all the information about where to find the information and the financials that you were talking about as well. How did you guys come to the conclusion of crowdfunding? So obviously, I don't know how long this has been in the works. There was the pandemic last year, which has been obviously tough on a lot of people in different areas.
Yeah.
It sounds like you guys are having pretty good success. So 57,000, and you guys have been doing this for three months?
The portal's been open. I came up with this idea. Don't laugh now. I came up with this idea in April.
Okay.
And for about a month, until the 500, we just kind of floated. I talked to a lot of people. I said, what do you think? Is it possible? And we got enough positive response that we felt, you know, it was okay. What I didn't plan on was having to hire the legal and accounting force that we had to hire to get this thing operating, because this is a fully SEC-regulated crowdfund. It's much different. You know, we're not just taking, you know, $100, put your name in a car, we keep the money. No, this is a much different animal. And it took us a lot longer to get it up and running than I wanted to, about 2 months longer. And that was because of my inexperience. I didn't know what I was talking about, right? So I'll just say that for the record. But now that we're there, we're ready. Donations have coming in. It's encouraging. And people in the crowdfunding side of it said, you know, for you to come up with $57,000 from zero in 3 weeks is pretty good, pretty impressive.
3 weeks? So, good Lord, that is a ton. Yeah. What's that, like $2,000-$3,000 a day almost? That's insane.
Oh, no. It's, well, I don't know, maybe it is. Let me go to my
57,000 divided by 21 days.
I mean, it's pretty healthy. Now, I will admit some folks have 2,700 a day.
That's
pretty good.
That's very good.
And it's funny because they're coming in from parts of the country. People I don't even know. I've got an investor. I'm going to call him tomorrow just to say thank you. Got an investor came in with a healthy sum of money. Lives in outside of Atlanta.
Okay.
I've never met him. I don't know who he is. And I DM'd him on Twitter. I said, how did you hear about this? He said, oh, I saw it on a Facebook page or something. I think it's a great idea. I'm excited. I can't wait to go to the race. So that's the kind of grassroots energy I think it's going to develop. And as we get out there more, as we talk to more people about it, as we do shows like yours, I think the energy is just going to continue to build. And I'm excited about what's going to happen.
That's awesome. So you had mentioned, and pre-episode as well, about drivers. You have a couple of driver meetings coming up, a technical alliance that will definitely help kind of right the ship and whatnot going into May. So I know you can't talk about too much, but where are we at with kind of the driver and team situation? And when do you hope to have things finalized?
I think we could have the driver actually secretly finalized by this coming weekend. As I say, I'm going out there for a couple of days. And one of the things high on the list is the driver. I'd like to be able to have that secure, but I don't know that we would do an early announcement on that. I think we would try to try to do the driver, the primary sponsor, the engine package, and the technical alliance all together at PRI. So that's, I mean, maybe we'll split it out. We'll do an announcement one day and announcement another day. We've already got folks that want to help us with booth space for a show car in the livery. So we're pretty excited about it.
So. Yeah. And I guess, so didn't even think about the engine. Would that just be contingent on the technical alliance? Like if you did go with,
not really. Honda's pretty much full at this point. Our only hope is a Chevrolet package.
Okay. So Chevrolet, we're going to have Chevrolet.
Honda's full. And okay. So, there's really not, you know, and I'm fine either way. I mean, you know, Ed Carpenter figured out how to get around that place a long time ago with Chevrolets and do it well. Obviously, Penske gets around the place well. So, you know, I don't think it's a problem either way.
Okay. And along this way, you know, we on the podcast, we love Jay Fry. We think he's an excellent leader for IndyCar. What have your interactions been like with Jay Fry? And has he been very, you know, we get a lot of feedback that he's very helpful with owners along the way. How has he been with you and your operation?
I talked to Jay about 3 weeks ago, and it was a very good conversation. He wanted to know what was going on, and so I told him what was going on. And he said to me, listen, what you're doing is fine. We support what you're doing. You've been here before. We know who you are. And if we can help, give us a call. That was pretty much it.
All right. So it sounds like
I asked him about, you know, car purchases, and he directed me to a couple of teams that he thought would be open to allowing us to buy a gently used chassis. So.
And so based on what I'm hearing in the interview, it sounds like this might be like a step one for you for greater things beyond 2022. Obviously Roger buying the series and the Speedway is, in a lot of people's minds, good for the sport. How have you been liking what Roger has done, not only to the Speedway, but just kind of like to the overall trajectory of the series?
Well, I'll say this, and this is by no means disrespecting the George family, but I will tell you, the Holman family, I don't think the track would have made it with anybody else other than Roger Penske during COVID. It was so devastating. I mean, we can only imagine how much money Roger lost his first year with COVID. No one could do it better. He loves it. I mean, gosh, you know, Mark Donahue, 1972, his first win. I mean, he's been around forever. He's a fan. He loves the sport. I don't know we could have had a better person to buy it than Roger Penske. I really don't.
All right. Got one more question. We're going to take it up to a little more lighthearted, fun racing question. Thanks for answering all the questions here. We appreciate your time.
No, thank you.
You've referenced some legendary names already, Mark Donahue being the most recent. So let's say you could go back in time and enter a car into any of the Indy 500s. Who would you pick? You know, it could be dead, alive, legend, rookie, whoever. Who would you have entered in your one and only entry in the Indy 500?
Wow, that's a great question. Probably Parnelli Jones.
Really?
Yeah. I think Parnelli was one of the best all-around drivers ever. I mean, he almost won the thing in a turbine car, other than his prior win. I think Parnelli... You know, I'm probably offending a lot of people by saying that, but I just think Parnelli is I think Parnelli is one of the all-time greats, and I would love to have him turning the wheel in that thing.
I was sitting at a bar once, and Peacock, for some reason, was on the TV, even though it's a streaming service, and they had this 30-minute documentary about Parnelli Jones going, and I was 3-4 beers deep. But I was sitting there just like mesmerized at like all the footage and all the people that were speaking about how great he was. And I don't think it's not a common answer, we'll say, but I think that's one that people could appreciate because that's a guy that definitely knew what he was doing and was a legend of the Speedway.
I mean, there's so many great names. Elio, I mean, how could you get better? Right. Dario Franchitti. I mean, there's just so many legendary people in the sport. A.J. Foyt, Mario Andretti, you could go on, but I just think for consistency's sake and the fact that he could really perform well in a variety of disciplines, I think Parnelli's a tough guy to beat.
For sure. that's all I had. Anything else for the fans at home? We'll share, like I said, we'll share all your info on our social medias. Anything
just say it else? I love saying it. spiritofspeedway.com. Just go there. The investment side, all the information, there's two buttons. You can click for ownership or click for the ultimate fan experience. And we've got a special now to Thanksgiving for that at $249. And maybe there'll be a Black Friday special. I don't know. We'll see. But no, it's really great, Matt. Thank you so much for this opportunity to help get the word out for us. And like I said, I've been watching you and Mike for a long time. This is really a thrill to be with you. And thanks a bunch. And I hope we'll see you in May in Indianapolis.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for your time, man.
Thank you.
Today's podcast was presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space, so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. If you're a podcaster, you can apply too immediately and get connected with advertisers that fit your audience. Go to podgo.co at podgo.co and let them know that we sent you there.
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and this is Pit Pass F1, a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Serasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.